Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are working our way through that wonderful text in 1 John 5. Verses 4 and 5 that tell us that Christians will, with certainty, overcome the world. For, we read in verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The text starts with a promise of victory, assurance of victory. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. God's children are overcomers. There's a lot that is warring against us. There are many reasons to fear that perhaps we are going to be overcome. But the promise of God's word stands. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Furthermore, the text tells us what the means of victory is. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. This is the victory. Victory is secure. Victory has already occurred. You may remember from the broadcast yesterday that John switches back and forth from present tense to past tense, back to present tense. And the significance of that is that whatever is born of God is overcoming the world, but those who have been born of God have overcome the world, but they are continuing to overcome the world. We won't go back into that again because we covered it yesterday, but it is a wonderful, wonderful revelation of truth. But now we need to talk about the appointed instrument of victory and the identity of the victors. And that's what we will do on this Thursday, December 20. We welcome you to join us as we study God's Word together. And we thank the Lord for those whose financial gifts make it possible. And I would ask you to consider a special year-end gift to the Beacon Broadcast. What is the appointed instrument of our victory? Again, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith is the instrument that secures victory. Now, please note that it's not just faith, but it is specifically our faith. Personal faith. Each individual must exercise faith for himself. Even an apostle is saved through faith. It is our faith, says John, writing as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what kind of faith is this? This is, in the first place, faith that lays hold on Christ. No one is born of God unless they are believing that Jesus is their Savior, that Jesus Christ's sinless life and vicarious death and bodily resurrection from the grave is what secures salvation, and they have laid hold of that truth for themselves and have believed the promise of God that whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. So it is a faith that lays hold on Christ. But furthermore, it is a faith that engages the power of the new world to overcome the old. Now, we don't normally think in terms like that, but that's a good way to look at it. Because this is telling us that our victory is already secure because we have already been rescued out of the world. We're still combating it. That's the point of this text, and we all know that's true. As long as we are in the world, we are still doing combat with the world, but victory is assured because we have already been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we need to understand that the kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of this world, and the kingdom of light is the world to come. It is the kingdom of Christ, and it is that kingdom that is one day going to fill this world. Someone was asking me recently, did I believe that the new heaven and the new earth was going to be totally new, or was it going to be a renovated version, a renovated edition, I guess you'd say, of the present world? And my answer to that was, I would not want to be dogmatic about it, but because of the parallels that Peter draws between the destruction of the flood and the coming destruction by fire, I would tend to lean toward renovation. When God destroyed the old world and brought forth a new world after the flood didn't do away with planet Earth, but what came out of it, what came out after the flood, was very, very different from what the world was like before the flood. I don't think we understand sometimes the significance of the magnitude of that difference. It was completely renovated, and many things were different. The Bible talks about a difference in topography, that there's mountain ranges rose, ocean basins became deeper, and that, by the way, is probably how it was possible to deal with all of this new water that had now landed upon Earth that was not here before. If the mountains are raised higher and the land masses are elevated in the process, and the ocean basins are deepened, then, of course, there's a place for that water to run off to so that there can still be land, when at one time the whole face of the earth was covered with water. But my point is that the world was renovated with water, destroyed by water, and renovated. It came forth as a new earth. And that's not an inaccurate term. It was a new earth. And I suspect that the same thing is going to happen when the world is destroyed by fire, that the present world is going to be completely consumed by fire, but that doesn't mean that planet Earth necessarily will go out of existence. And then what comes out of it is going to be brand new. A number of years ago, my wife and I took on a project of renovating our kitchen and bathrooms in our home. And when that was done, it wasn't unusual for my wife, when we had guests in the home, to say something like, and sometimes they would make the request, but she would say something like, would you like to see our new bathrooms? Well, we all understood in the use of that term that she wasn't saying that we had completely destroyed the old ones, and that there was nothing left in the present bathroom that survived that renovation process, because actually there were some things that did, but for the most part, it was new. Certainly new fixtures, new appliances, new sinks, it was renovated so thoroughly that what you saw did not look like the old bathroom at all, and the same thing was true for the kitchen. And we use the word new in that sense. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that the faith that secures victory is a faith that engages the power of the new world to overcome the old. We who are citizens of the world to come and who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who is the power who created this world, this present world, and destroyed this present world with the flood, and will destroy this present world with an all-consuming fire, and bring in a new heavens and new earth in which nothing but righteousness dwells, and there'll be no reminder, no vestige of the fallen world that has been under the curse all of these years since Adam's fall in the garden. It'll be completely new in every way possible, and the power that brings that about is the power that overcomes the present world, and our faith engages that power. It is a faith that appropriates God's word. How do we overcome sin? By applying the truth of God's word to our lives. How do we overcome false teaching which comes at us from every quarter? By believing the word of God, the Bible, and what it teaches, and allowing the truth of God's word to dispel the deception of false teaching. How do we resist the downward pull of the world that is trying to pull down the people of God so that they do not serve God, do not love God, do not represent God, do not obey God's commandments? This pull, this tug that the world around us is trying to exert upon us, because the world is no friend of grace to help us on to God. It's just the opposite. It's the enemy of grace. It's the enemy of God's people. And so what do we have to combat that? God's word. God's word. Yes, it is a faith that lays hold on Christ. It is a faith that engages the power of the new world to overcome the old. It is a faith that appropriates God's word for every area of life and every need and every trial and every assault upon our soul, every temptation that would try to pull us away from God, but faith that appropriates the word of God in order to combat all of these forces that are marshaled against us. It is a faith that enables obedience. I think it was Martin Luther who said that our obedience represents the marks and ornaments of salvation. Obedience is not what secures salvation. It doesn't secure justification. We know that justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But the Bible also teaches that those who have been born again, who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, are going to bear fruit, are going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, are going to produce fruit in our lives, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Yes, we are going to manifest an obedient faith toward God, and it is this faith that overcomes the world that enables that obedience and produces thereby the marks and ornaments of a true believer. It's faith. And whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Keep me, Lord. Oh, keep me cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of my receiving promised joys with thee. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.